Nice to see also the devotees in the temple room. It's so good to see real people, but it's also very hopeful that very soon we will be able to move much freer. I would like to continue this morning with my lecture from yesterday. And if you just give me really 1 minute, I can just go briefly through my notes and then start. Good. So I would suggest then let us welcome our Hari Shyam from the Lake of Michigan. It must be in the midst of the night for you, isn't it?
Yes, 2 in the morning.
But you look very fresh. Good, good. So please, Hari Shyam, give us an orientation for the day. I will listen with half a ear and look at my notes here. Please start.
Dear devotees, on this very auspicious day of the appearance of Lord Nityananda, we have a very action-packed day planned for all of you. We have 2 lectures, an initiation ceremony, so we'll go over those details after Guru Maharaj's morning class. So today's Guru Maharaj has shared with us very important lessons from the life of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and also the importance of discovering our unlived life, making our own decisions, using all that we have learned from our spiritual authorities. So in our morning lecture today, we will hear all about how to attain empowerment from Lord Nityananda to make these transformations in our life. So therefore, let us now hear with rapt attention, and we invite Guru Maharaj with a lot of affection to please water the garden of our hearts with his words and realization. So please, Guru Maharaj, present the morning lecture.
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you for this image of watering. It is, in fact, true that Krishna consciousness has been compared with garden work. In the heart, there is a ground, so to say, in which we can plant all kinds of seeds. Krishna consciousness, we plant the seed of bhakti there, and we need to strengthen it by shravanam and kirtanam, and then it can grow. So yes, it is a festival is meant to water the seed of bhakti and cultivate in this way the garden of our heart. It's a beautiful image. Fine, so here is a beautiful garland. Thank you so much. How kind of you. Yes. Wow, these are local flowers and they smell very good. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Krishna. I thought we will read today a verse from the Bhagavatam, which gives us a little orientation, but I would like to introduce my subject just a little bit before I start. See, in spiritual life, we do understand that with a material mind and also with a material body, it is not so easy to enter fire or the spiritual world. The Chandogya Upanishad informs us, if you want to enter fire, you first have to become fire. Then you can go inside and stay happily and dance even in the fire without any inconvenience. So the whole process of spiritual life is really a transformation that our heart, which is maybe materially oriented, becomes totally filled with Yeah, it's really all about love, spiritual love for Krishna. And then when you are filled with this divine love of bhakti, you can enter the spiritual world. You have become fire, you can now enter the fire. Very good. So I have always, since day one in my spiritual life, looked for ways and means that would help me personally to transform my life. And all my sadness comes when I see I'm not yet 100%, I'm not 100% transformed, and all my happiness in life comes when I can see and feel actually the divine energy working in my heart and guiding my life and my steps. So what I share with you is really, today is really what I'm all about. And so I'm just looking for the verse here so that we can start. One moment. 3:9. What is it? 23.
Vikramamidam srijato picheto Vikramamidam srijato picheto Yunjita karma shamalam chayata viyahyan Yunjita karma shamalam chayata viyahyan.
I will immediately go to the translation. The Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is always the benefactor of the surrendered souls. His activities are always enacted through his internal potency, Rama, or the Goddess of Fortune. I pray only to engage in his service in the creation of the material world. And I pray that I not be materially affected by my works, for thus I may be able to give up the false prestige of being the creator. This is a prayer of Lord Brahma. He is at the beginning of the creation. Nothing is there, only a black emptiness. And he now prays to Krishna. Oh my Lord, he says, you are always benefiting the surrendered souls. That's your nature. That's your heart. You want to do good for those who are prapanna. Prapanna means surrendered to you. And then he says, your activities are totally extraordinary. They are not performed with material energy, but with spiritual Shakti, which is personified by Rama, the goddess, the divine goddess of fortune. And then he prays to be engaged in service, but he has a particular slant on it. Many times when a normal person performs extraordinary service, he becomes influenced by pride. I did it. But Brahma doesn't want that. He wants to do service and then not get this poison, so to say, which ruins everything which is done on the spiritual platform. He doesn't want to be overwhelmed by false prestige. So Prabhupada writes a brief purport here. In the matter of material creation, maintenance, and destruction, there are three incarnations of the material modes of nature: Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. That's another name for Lord Shiva. But the Lord's incarnation as Vishnu, in his internal potency, is the supreme energy for the total activities. It's really Vishnu who does everything. He gives the energy for this. Brahma, who is only an assistant in the modes of creation, wanted to remain in his actual position as an instrument of the Lord, instead of becoming puffed up by the false prestige of thinking himself the creator. That is the way of becoming dear to the Supreme Lord and receiving his benediction. To do service and remain in the consciousness, I'm really only an instrument. I'm not the doer here. The results which are created are not created by me. I'm just serving. And what comes through me, that is Krishna. It's interesting. If you want to give charity, if you want to have the highest benefit in charity, is you do it gupta. That is, no one understands that what you are giving comes from you. Because the moment you feel, oh, I am giving, something is not right. I felt that when we started our Braj Care charity in Vrindavan, and we took a tractor and a big hanger on it, and we put all the widows into it of Radhakund and drove them to an ashram where we gave them prasadam. We needed to go eventually five times. And then I was giving a small little translated lecture to the widows. And I still remember that moment where I felt very deeply inside, I'm not really doing anything here. The Lakshmi which I'm giving, so to say, I have gotten from another source. I've gotten them from good-hearted devotees, and they have gotten it from the Lord, and they, and so on. And I just said, please do not think that we are giving you this assistance, medical assistance, cloth, and so on. We are just your servants. It all is given ultimately by the Lord. See, if you asked a child, from where did you get the food? He would say very proud, I went to the fridge, the Eiskühlschrank, and I took it out of the fridge. I got my food myself. The parents who hear this will think, how cute, how nice. But if they would have not put the food into the refrigerator, the child would not have gotten the food. So in the same way, it is with us. If we think, I'm doing everything, I'm getting everything, who put it there? Who put the seed? Who made the seed? Who made the sun? Who made all these material energies which work and which create in their different transmutations, fruits, money, woods, oceans, and so on. It is coming from Krishna. So Prabhupada writes here, to remain in this consciousness, I'm an instrument of the Lord, and not become puffed up by the false prestige of thinking I'm the creator. That is the way of becoming dear to the Supreme Lord and receiving his benediction. Foolish men want to take credit for all creations made by them, but intelligent persons know very well that not a blade of grass can move without the will of the Lord. Thus, all the credit for wonderful creation must go to him. And we must glorify Krishna. By spiritual consciousness only can one be free from the contamination of material attachment and receive the benedictions offered by the Lord. It requires spiritual consciousness. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskachare Satarine Jaya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Nityananda
Nityananda Ram
Jaya Jaya
Nityananda
Nityananda
Ram
Hare
Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama
Hare Rama Rama
Rama Hare Hare Oh Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I feel so musically inclined in Nityananda's appearance day. This concept or idea, my dear devotees, is the last of the four lessons on empowerment. Let us recap. We found out yesterday how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami became an instrument into making sense of the Yuga avatar Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had been in Jamatpur. He was had a very pious background. There was non-stop kirtan and deity worship going on in his home, but there was a misunderstanding there. His relatives had not a complete understanding of how Krishna manifests in Kali Yuga. They had half an understanding. Because of this misunderstanding, soon tension came in the house and a terrible thing happened. A great, great devotee who came there on invitation left the place with pain in his heart. He was sad. He actually was so sad that he broke his flute. He was desperate. It was such a heavy apparat for him. So Krishnadas was shocked, as all the other were shocked, and he thought, what can be done? And he must have understood this is no longer a place for me. I should go, I should bring benefit to all my relatives. I should do something. So in that evening, Lord Nityananda appeared in the night, actually, and he said to Krishnadas, I have a plan for you. Go to Vrindavan, because there you will attain answers and everything you need to know. So Krishnadas went then early next morning, and that was the first instruction, that we should remain flexible in our spiritual life. We should not remain attached to a compromised situation, and we should know when Krishna shows us it's time now to move. We should have faith. When Krishna closes one door, he has opened other doors somewhere else. No one needs to be desperate and stay in a situation which is not healthy for him. That is not necessary. You don't have to come into this, what psychology calls the victim consciousness. Oh, I can't change my environment. I can't change where I am now. I can't change my health. I can't change my mind. I can't change my surrounding. If you think like this, you see only the problems but not the opportunities. No? So yes, it requires a little detachment and a little faith in Krishna to move on. So Krishnadas came to Vrindavan. He had a burning desire in his heart. He wanted to be of service. And when he came there, he did not know what service or what he could do, but he met the wonderful devotees of the Lord, and they actually, seeing his desire for service, thought, this person is willing, this person is ready. By the way, if you want to become a disciple, or you, as you are a disciple, like most of you, and you wish to move on in your discipleship, you want to become empowered, maybe, or inspired, it's always good to enter the service mood, to have to be of service, no? And then something will happen to you. You will become empowered. Srila, this is the experience really of the beginning of our lives in Krishna consciousness. There is this beautiful book of His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. It is called I'll Build You a Temple, the Juhu Story. It's really my reading recommendation at the moment. It's really like a drama if you read it. It's, you can't put it down. Often devotees have told me, what have you done to me? I'm reading through the whole night. It's so good. And I've also read through the whole night with this book. Because it explains something very deep by an illustration, by telling what happened in Juhu. So Rab, he is the architect who built the temple in Juhu. Have you seen the temple photo? Beautiful temple. Who has been in the temple? I've also been. And he built also Vrindavan, the temple in Vrindavan. You have all seen the Krishna Balaram Mandir, no? Some of you have even visited, I think. So, so Rav was the architect for this. He happened to come one day into the temple, and he had done some drawing, something on architecture, but he was not really educated and knowing. It's like, you know, everyone has some knowledge of photography. He can put the camera and make tick and then have a photo, but that doesn't make him a photographer. So Rab had the same relationship to architecture. Prabhupada heard it and told him, please build the temple. Me? I don't know about structure, I don't know about this, that, and so on. Statistics, and I don't know, statistics, not the word. I don't know if they need to know this. Static, they need to know, not statistic. And then he built a temple. If you move into the temple, it's a masterpiece. An Indian professor sent their students to study the architecture of this temple. It is combining many amazing features. It has, of course, the Nad Mandir. Let's start with the altar, then the Nad Mandir, then the court. Then it has a beautiful guest house. Then it has a theater. It's a complex which is, it's a jewel of architecture. And then Krishna Balaram Mandir, I think you have been in there. If you go in there, you feel you have entered the sacred atmosphere. So Surab said, I don't know how, but there was an energy working, and you just needed to connect with it, and then you knew how to draw and how to put everything together. It's not me, it's Prabhupada who somehow empowered us at that time. And all older devotees who were there during Prabhupada's time, they remember this atmosphere. And guess what? The atmosphere is still there. But the fourth principle is be prepared to face and overcome difficulties. I will print this out, Nitya Kishori is typing it, I will edit it and I will put it on the I can't put it on the internet, I don't know how to do this, but it will be placed on the internet for you to see these principles of empowerment. But here, let us go to the fourth lesson here. If you wish to be empowered, you can't run away when the first difficulty shows up. You have to embrace the difficulties. I had a godbrother who has left his body, who expressed this very nice. He said, if your desire to serve is beyond your capacity, but still you act without hesitation, that is the moment where empowerment happens. Should I read it again? It's so dense, it's so focused, so concentrated. And some of you went later to bed and got up earlier than they are accustomed. So I will repeat it for you. If your desire to serve is beyond your capacity, but still you act without hesitation, that is the moment where empowerment happens. No, for instance, I know this from going on book distribution. I was really not 100% in my element to see all these people who were so different in consciousness. I just was standing on the street and I was saying, I feel different than these people. I don't know how I will make a contact with them. I have a different history, different outlook on life. But when I had the desire to serve and to introduce Krishna conscious literature to the people, and I understood it's beyond my capacity. I can't talk to these people. I don't know what to talk. But I acted without hesitation. Let me try. Here, please take this book. No. Not be discouraged. Here, take this book. Not in 1,000,000 years I will take your book. I know what it is and I want Mickey Mouse. you can't reach the people. It's beyond your present capacity. But still you act without hesitation. That is the moment where empowerment happens. All of a sudden, you know, hello, sir, we are here and we are meeting all nice gentlemen like yourself. Really? You're the first one who says I'm a gentleman. I can see it in your eyes as a potential that will come up in... Oh, that was too complicated. Almost there. My example is ridiculous. There are ways to stop someone. You have to somehow get on the level. I know one Sankirtan devotee, he meets anyone and he knows what is their profession. He said, you must be a teacher. How do you know? You look like one. And he was always right. And the people, who are you? What are you doing here? And then he could discuss. This is a very ancient spiritual knowledge. I think it's good for you to, and so on. No? So, if your desire to serve is beyond your capacity, but still you're not discouraged, but you act without hesitation. That's the moment when empowerment happens. By the way, it has to happen, otherwise nothing happens if you don't get empowered. Of course, you must have done the work before. You must have become detached a little bit, and you must really have a pure heart where you want to innocently serve the Lord. And you must be prepared to face and overcome the difficulties. However, if you are seeing that something works in you, you could lose it really fast. And many people who started on the spiritual path have unfortunately lost the divine investments that were given to them because of not knowing this fifth point. When you have been empowered, you have to be you have to remain in a dependent spirit. You have to remain dependent on Krishna. You have to remain humble. If you're not, there will be the pride which is in your heart will drill holes in your heart, and everything which has been given into your heart will leak out through the holes. Therefore, Brahma, who is now praying to do something extraordinary. Imagine he's the creator of the universe, and he wants to be an instrument in Krishna's hand. And what does he pray? He says, may I be able to create it simultaneously at the same time, not be overcome by the pride which could come along by me being the creator. Beautiful, no? That is something you need to keep in mind in your spiritual life. As you grow and as you become more advanced, your humility has to also grow. It's like a tree. If the tree grows and has heavy fruits like coconuts, then simultaneously his roots need to grow so that the tree doesn't fall with all these fruits. So in the same way in spiritual life, it is very, very important for us to grow our roots become dependent on Krishna. Now I have a note here. When Brahma prayed, please protect me from being affected by false ego and thinking I'm the creator, he reveals a great secret. It is said, even if you have given up all material desires, which is not easy, as you will most probably agree with me. No? Even if you have given up all material desires, there is usually still one type of desire that is waiting at the end, and that's the desire for fame. It is more difficult to give up the desire for being validated, acknowledged, praised by others. It is more difficult to give that up than giving up smoking, for instance, or eating some eating chocolate, and you know. All of you know, all you chocolate people out there, you know. But that is easy to give up in comparison to giving up the desire for fame. Now it does, you have not given up fame when you call yourself a humble person. I'm Mr. or Mrs. Humble. No. You have to see in your own heart, how do you feel when another person is praised? Are you envious, maybe? How do you feel when someone forgets to acknowledge you? Do you feel sad, maybe? It is said this desire for fame is very, very, very strong. I know myself. I have become last year an internet person, and I caught myself. How many people are watching? That shows up, you know. So many participants. There is a number, and shows up. Oh, I'm not getting as many likes as so and so. I'm useless. Then I notice, hey, Sachinanda Swami, you're supposed to be a spiritualist. This is the root cause of all other anattas. Everything else you struggle with come from this. Therefore, one should carefully keep away from the desire for fame, just as one would avoid by all means to touch stool. Hare Krishna. You don't know when you are in India, and you need to sometimes be careful, especially when you do Braj roaming. I remember last Braj roaming, we were walking from Badrinath to Kedarnath, and just before Kedarnath, I needed to say to the devotees, I'm just returning. Just 1 minute, and I went behind the bushes, and all of a sudden, boom, I was in a stool field, and wherever I walked, oh no. Then another step, oh no, not again. That's where the, you know, in the morning, the people from the village come out, and they sit there, and then they discuss the news of the day, and so on, and it's full. Anyways, let's not get into the detail here. So yes, you have to avoid this somehow or other, because as Prabhupada writes so nicely, that is the way of becoming dear to the Supreme Lord and receiving His benediction. Tell yourself, do I want to become famous or glorified, or do I want to get the further blessings of Krishna, which will engladden my heart? This pride is coming quite easy. There are four anattas which are all caused by this. And one anatta I want to say here is asat trishna, that is to desire something that is separate from Krishna. This is caused by the weakness of a heart. The heart of a conditioned soul is attached to quite trivial things, small things, and it can become attached to anything or everything. Like I have a wonderful torchlight. It's a small thing. It is, you switch it on, and in the night when you get up and you need to know where are you, it's my greatest friend. So I was leaving this. I forgot the torchlight in the Ayurvedic clinic. So when I came in Goloka Dham, I looked, where is the torchlight? And this little torch was not there. I thought, oh no, what will I do in the night when I wake up and I don't know where I am and I don't know how late it is. Maybe it's time to rise, or I don't know how to get to the bathroom if there is a need. Oh, I'm so attached to this good torchlight. It's such a wonderful torchlight. And I remember I went to sleep feeling great pain in my heart that this torchlight was left. Why am I so forgetful? I have to take Brahmi pills for my memory. And I dreamt of a torchlight. Trivial thing, a torchlight. Then the next morning I got up and I opened the curtain, and there the torchlight was. It's not magic, it's not mystery. I had arrived from the clinic in Golokadam, and the first thing I must have taken out and placed it for the use in the evening was a torchlight. But I put it in a place where I had forgotten it was standing. And then I said, Sachidananda Swami, now please don't feel excessive happiness. Just think you should become detached from the torchlight. If you have to be born reborn because of a torchlight, it's not there. My example may not be so very good, but I want to give a harmless example, and I want to make myself the object of laughter, not you. But we are talking here about weakness of the heart, which manifests in trivial attachments and fault finding and envy of others and so on. So to give this up is not easy. It could be for a lady a lipstick, something as insignificant as a lipstick, which makes the lip shiny and wet or whatever. For a man, it could be a torchlight, or it could be to be right and to be praised. The weakness of the heart finds many, many ways, but there is one cause to it. You still are not thinking of Krishna so much, and therefore you are overcome by this, and you are anchored to the world by this. But, my dear devotees, these trivial attachments, I agree there are some things which we need. But we speak about trivial attachments. The Deutsche word is trivial, insignificant. Sanskrit word is tucha, very small. These trivial attachments which compromise our spiritual personality very much, they can go if today you learn one simple thing. You throw yourself before Lord Nityananda. I'm speaking of falling down on the ground. Yes, some of you might have forgotten what that means. It means dandavat. So if you then pray to him, my dear Lord, please enter my heart. You are known as Chirodakashai Vishnu. That's one of your many expansions in the heart. Huh? Baladev, Balaram, is the first expansion of Krishna, and he expands into various forms. One is the Lord in the heart. You are there. You can give me the strength of detachment from these trivial things, which the most dangerous is my attachment to be praised by others. That is what spiritual people know. You know, I wanted to share something with you. How Vaishnavas go through this world. they always, for everything which happens, acknowledge the source. They are always grateful to their spiritual masters, to your masters, plural, those who have taught them, those who have helped them. They are always grateful for what they have. And at the beginning of an activity, in the middle, and at the end, they chant auspicious prayers. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he ends his commentary on the Bhagavatam: "Whatever mistakes I have made in this commentary, may the learned souls correct it. And whatever is good here in what I did belongs to my guru, not to me." He says like this. Oh, Raghunath Das Goswami prays. Let me see if we can remember this. Nama Shrestam Manumapi Sachiputra Atra Svarupam Rupam Tasya Gajam Urupurim Madhurim Gostavatim Radha Kundam Giriam Varo Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurun Tannatosmi. I offer my obeisances to Shri Guru, by whose abundant mercy I have obtained the topmost name of Hari. By his mercy I have obtained my Diksha mantras. I have obtained the association of Sachi Devi's son. Who's that? Shachinandan Gaura Hari, no? Lord Chaitanya. I have obtained all my gurus, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, his elder brother, Sanatan Goswami. And I have obtained this topmost abode of Mathura Vrindavan. And here I have obtained Radha Kund and Govardhan. But most important, I have obtained in my life a hope, a divine hope that one day I may offer service, direct service to Radhika and Madhava. So this is the mood in which a devotee acts. He remains grateful. He is not feeling entitled. This is a difficult word for those who don't speak English as their mother tongue. Entitlement means Berechtigung. It's my right to get this. No, he feels I'm grateful that despite my low qualification, I have obtained this. This is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's greatest jewel, maybe. He had organized the Chaitanya movement through his work, the Chaitanya Bhagavata, Chaitanya Charitamrita. He had helped that the various streams of opinions and concepts about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu flew in one direction and the movement became strong and spread its influence even up to modern times, even up to all of us. He's a giant, a spiritual giant. But at the end of each chapter, you see him. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Here it is. Yarash. Di-di-di-di-di-di-di. Kabe Krishna Das. Not di-di-di-di, but... I take shelter of my teachers, Shri Rupa, Shri Raghunath. And this way, I, Krishna Das, try to narrate Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is why Lord Nityananda benedicted him and gave him the blessings. He was a willing atmosphere and an instrument. He was not ein verstopftes Instrument. He was not a congested instrument, which was congested by pride. Lord Nityananda said, "Don't be afraid, my dear Krishna Das. Brindavan Joho." This is how the Bengalis will say. Tonho. Sava labhaya hoya. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. You are ready. What did he attain by the mercy of Lord Nityananda in Vrindavan? He attained shelter in Vrindavan. He met Rupa, Sanatan, Raghunath, and all others. And he became accepted by them. He understood the Bhakti Siddhanta and the Bhakti Rasa. That's very important. In order to understand Krishna consciousness, you must understand the philosophical truths. But that's only half of the story. You must also enter the ocean of sweet taste, of rasa. That is important. And finally, he obtained the lotus feet of Madan Mohan and Radha Govinda. So Lord Nityananda had not cheated him. He had not told him something and then something else happened. No, he had given him what he needs. And in the same way, if you follow the example of this Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, you will be able to get the gift of Lord Chaitanya, and it will not of Lord Chaitanya, of Lord Nityananda, means also Chaitanya, and it will not leave you. You will keep it in your heart. It will not leak out and go out, and you will be... Yes, there will be times, of course, where unpleasant things happen to you, like mosquitoes who sting you, illness, misunderstandings, or your own failures in spiritual life. They might make you sad. Yes, for a moment, but you will always remember that there's something under all of this, something divine, something which stirs in your soul, which moves. So again, let us go now through the five lessons to be learned, how to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. First of all, be detached from what? Your own plan. Then second, have a strong desire for what? Pizza or to serve? Wonderful. Third, become connected to Guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna, Hari Guru Vaishnavas. They will give you the service. A fourth is, yes, be prepared to face and overcome the obstacles and difficulties which are there. And fifth, you could lose all the mercy. Hold the mercy, hold the empowerment by remaining a humble, dependent soul. And then you will attain all things. You will also obtain shelter in Vrindavan one day. Maybe when you leave the body and you enter the eternal Vrindavan, it will be there. You will be slowly becoming more deeper in Krishna consciousness. You will be interested in what the six Goswamis have to offer in relationship to a more spontaneous form of bhakti. You will be you will understand, you will have a good fundament in the bhakti tattva, bhakti, but you will also have tasted something that is sweeter than everything you have tasted so far. And finally, you will see Madan Mohan again in this world, and he will greet you and he says, "I remember you from Goloka Dham. You served me there." And so on. Yes, you will obtain all this. Yes. So this is a little bit what I was preparing for you. I hope you have enjoyed just like me. I must say I have heard some of the points in this lecture from a lecturer whom I very much appreciate. His name is Sutapa Prabhu, and I have then digested everything in my own way and presented it for you. I'm personally very inspired, and I'm really looking forward to post this, these five principles for you, because one needs to see them all at once, one needs to think about them, one needs to maybe see or hear, "I'm not doing so good, let me discuss with devotees how I can improve my practice here," and in this way one can go on very nicely. Good, so now I'm looking at the time. Today we are very, very Gaurahari, what did you say? We can go up till when?
9:30 latest.
Latest. Because 10 o'clock. Yeah. Okay, 10 o'clock is the initiation, and therefore we have to do a little preparation. Our priest has already arrived yesterday. A very qualified priest has come. So, nectar. And yes, so let us maybe see, Hari Siam, if there are a few just two questions maybe, and then we will continue. Yes, Hari Siam.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for this lecture. We have a question from Radhika Ranjan Prabhu. He says, "Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, thank you for this point. The drilling of holes in the heart, being dependent and not thinking oneself the doer. How does one accept kindness graciously? How does one accept kindness graciously, not being cold-hearted, without slipping into thinking oneself the doer?"
Yes. How does one... Thank you, Radhika Ranjan. I will repeat the last part. How does one accept kindness, which is given to one, graciously without thinking one is the doer? There was a time in my life when I needed to learn that. It was the time when our preaching was producing results you can't imagine. We had 10,000 people on an average per evening in physical space. There was a time, I remember, when we went to Russia, there were 33,000 tickets which were sold. What to speak of all the people who came in somehow or other through the windows or on. And imagine, we had the next day 100 photographers we needed to, you know, for the media. And then a similar amount of journalists of who came, who had TV, who had, what is it called, TV, then the newspapers, magazines, and all this. And we were sitting there, we were dressed up for the occasion. I was wearing my elegant Vedic way coat, sitting there on a table, and people were just, you know, the journalists, they were almost killing each other and climbing on each other to get a photo of you. And I was thinking, well, these are good programs, no? I mean, see the result. Someone must be doing something right here. And I was thinking that someone sits there in the Vedic way suit. And I remember the next day, I couldn't do my service any longer. I was removed. I was no longer doing anything in the program. You might call it the course's politics. You might call it misunderstandings amongst devotees. But the fact was, I was pride, and the next day I was thrown out. I was invited back again, but I was thrown out, and I was so miserable. You know, the first day you're on the top of the world, the next day you're down in the gutters. No one cares for you, no one wants you, no one likes you. And I was deeply thinking, and I could understand. I had done, I think on that day I read Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I finished a chapter, and then I think it was that. Then I noticed how the last verse was, where Kaviraj Goswami says, I'm offering my obeisances to Rupa and Sanat, not to Rupa and Raghunath. By their mercy it is that I'm writing this work. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute, I have read this in another chapter, I think. So I went one chapter back, the same verse was there. Then I went one chapter, jumped ahead, same verse was there. Throughout his work, he says, I'm not the doer, I'm a servant here. I'm getting, it was Rupa and Raghunath who inspired me, who gave me the knowledge, and I'm just collecting it and rearranging it. No? So at that time I understood my lifeline was cut. I had become proud of the gifts which had been given to me, and therefore, because Krishna cared for me, he could have let me go on for years marching in pride, and I could have become even worse than I was. Fortunately, Krishna cared for me and threw me out and showed us, you're there by mercy. You're a simple boy who didn't even finish his school. You ran away from school. You came. You didn't even know English when you came. Yes, I had terrible notes in English when I came, and you became a translator of the Bhagavad Gita. You are simple. Remember from where you came, and what you do now is what you have learned from others, what you have learned from Srila Prabhupada, and so on. And it's their gifts in you. And it was hard for me. I was, you know, a proud man doesn't become a humble man in overnight. It takes months, it takes years sometimes to mature in this. But, you know, Prabhupada, once we said, one disciple said to him, Prabhupada, you have started this international movement of pure principles, you know. There are many gurus, but they don't say you have to keep on four regulative principles. And you have built so many temples, and with all of this, Prabhupada, you are like, it's so wonderful. Prabhupada said, I'm just the glitter, the gold that is my Guru Maharaj. I'm a reflection of his. And you know, that's, by the way, the safest position. And now I give you a secret, it's the most happy position. You feel better. You feel like a child. I remember this year I was in Vrindavan, and I have a few very nice people with whom we feel like family, and there, and one person was driving me, Ramkrishna. He's a wonderful bridge Parsi, very so we were driving, and it was dusk. We were driving. We needed to go, I forgot where. Yes, to some ashram where I had a program. So we were driving over one of these small roads, and in the middle of the roads, there are three children are there. They have no pants on. Rich Parsi children, village scene, you know. And they are sitting in the midst of the road. It's the only road which you can take to get there. And they are playing. And Ramkrishna just needs to stop the car like this, because the children are just playing with some bottles, Bisleri water bottles. And then Ramkrishna turns to me and says, these children, no chintya. Chintya means anxiety. They know if there is any problem, my father and mother will be there and take care. If there's any type of problem, this is not my work. I play from morning till evening. Problems, there's father, mother will take care. And then he said to me, that is bhakti. To know Radha, Krishna, there, protection. You know, he doesn't speak so many English words, but the words he knows always. Maybe one has to know how to translate it. He said, Radha and Krishna, they're taking care of us. What is the worry? Why are you Westerners so much in anxieties always? And you can see the bridge Parsis live like this. They go through everything. Sometimes there are medical issues. Sometimes they don't have warm cloth for the cold winter. But they always laugh. They always are joyful. Because they know everything will be given in some time. No anxiety. To be humbly dependent is very good. I have given a long answer, but because the question was right to the main point which I wanted to give, I thought to talk a little bit longer on this question. To be humbly dependent is you can play carelessly in this life. This life will be a game for you, a play. And you know, Radha Krishna are there. But if you think I'm the doer, then every anxiety is your anxiety. You can be like those children in this little village whose name I never can remember, and who play on this in the midst of this. We in the Western world would get out and say, where's the father here? They should tell him, you can't play in the midst of a traffic order, Verkehrsader, a frequently driven road. But the bridge buses stop and they say, Bacha, Pachabit's child. And they laugh and they think this is a good analogy to show what's the essence of bhakti. Mm. Good. But it takes maturity. Just go on the way you do. Remember this point, and after some time, the apple, the mango will be sweet. The mango will be mature. Good. We so much enjoy seeing you, Arisham. Really, and you look really relative. You look fresh. How do you do it? You have to tell us your mystery, your secret.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj, so much. Really, for reminding us to aspire to enter this position of dependence and gratitude, because, as you mentioned, everything we do is happening by the mercy of our gurus, our teachers, the devotees, Srila Prabhupada. And I think what is coming next in our program can be a very active meditation on receiving mercy, because some very wonderful and nice devotees are going to be initiated. We have Bhakta Bhavesh from London, who will receive his first initiation today, Sergei from Russia, Lalita, who is the wife of our dear Kanai Krishna Prabhu, who also received first initiation, then Anastasia from Ukraine, and the brother of Guru Maharaj's filmmaker, Govinda Prabhu, your boy, will also receive his first
initiation. Wow!
So, in the past, Guru Maharaj has often said that we should not be passive observers of the initiation ceremony, but to really become active participants by going back to our own initiation and recommit now our vows and our commitments. So please let us have that meditation during this ceremony. And now we'll take a short break